This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening for December 5th, Wednesday night. My name is Dr. Douglas Kelly, and I'm here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello, Doug. Good evening, everybody. Good to be here. 16 days and counting, Doug.
Until what?
Until all the aliens come out of the sky and we go dark.
I thought that was canceled. You told me last week it was canceled.
Oh. Well, yeah, somebody resurrected it. Sorry. So we're waiting.
Well, you know what? I'm tired of dealing with it, so I'm just going to cancel the whole thing again.
Good idea. Good idea.
And no restarts.
Okay.
Okay.
It's good to be here tonight. We've got a good show coming up.
Yes, we'd like to welcome everyone listening live, those listening to the archives. Glad you could join us tonight for Metaphysical Universe, which is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly program, MCHS Church also operates the Metaphysics Institute. You can find out more information at metaphysicsinstitute.org. We offer bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics. You can specialize in a variety of areas, including coaching, counseling, healing, paranormal, and quite a few more. So visit us there. Before we get into tonight's topic, we'd like to do our profession of beliefs, which is a regular part of the program. These are spiritual principles to live by and to live more successfully by, I might add. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon these nine principles of belief. Number one, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number four, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number five, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number six, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens up a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number seven, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these three synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number eight, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number nine, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these nine principles, as well as MCHS Church in general, please visit mchschurch.org. So tonight, we again welcome all those joining us live, those joining us in the archives. We welcome your comments, especially if you're listening live. You can comment in the chat room. You can call us up. The number's on your screen. Dr. John Hightower screening calls, of course, as always. And tonight's topic is the paradox of self-interest. We're going to explore the differences in one's interest in him or herself in a selfish way versus being interested in one's self, or higher self, in a healthy way. And this is, of course, all within the context of universal consciousness and being connected as we are with all things. And we're going to try to help our listeners reevaluate themselves with the goal of greater self-awareness. All right, that must be the universe telling me it's now time to let Vicky talk.
I was just thinking this is a really important subject because it's a question that, I face with people all the time. They come to you for advice and you give advice and they say, oh, isn't that kind of selfish? It's really important for people to understand the difference between, being independent and of your own mind and doing what's right for you and your own evolution versus what's just doing right for other people. And equally, when we're motivated to acquire things that interest or gratify us is not necessarily evolving from the inside out. So, there's a few little angles going on here, but, it's something we deal with constantly with people to better understand what it is to be self-interested, and
in
to evolve because it's good for you. Absolutely.
In a healthy way you're speaking of.
Absolutely.
Rather than, yeah. So let's talk about self-interested. When we say that about somebody, they're just self-interested or, they're only interested in themselves. That obviously has a negative connotation, meaning, they're selfish, they're narcissistic, they're conceited, they're just self-absorbed. Everything's about winning, I win, you lose type of a deal. And there's a lot of little ways that we tend to, or can tend to fall into that kind of a mentality. And we've talked about this on many other shows, about having a greater awareness of not only ourselves, but also those around us, the plight of others. It's interesting. We all have our story. We all have our triumphs and our defeats. We all have our victories. We all have our adversities. We're human beings. That's life. We need to make sure that we're not just self-interested in the unhealthy way. We'll talk about the healthy way too, being interested in ourself with a capital S. So the question here for listeners to examine, to explore, to think about, in what ways are you self-interested? And I'm talking about the unhealthy way. We've talked a ton about healthy self-interest in the past, but in what ways are we, here's one way, and I don't even know if I can communicate this, but I'm going to try. But one thing that has just, I've noticed it for years and years, especially on the internet, and many have talked about this, but basically it happens a lot in forums. You're hiding behind the screen, you're hiding behind a screen name. And so some people will just act out. They can say anything they want because nobody knows who it is. But you put those people face-to-face with other people, and, if they're passive-aggressive, they're not going to do anything face-to-face. But they're not going to be nearly as aggressive because they're face-to-face with another real-life human being. And one of the ways that we can be interested in ourself with a capital S, in the good way, is to also be aware of others and to have that compassion, that empathy for other people, understanding that we're all in this game, we're all in this boat, we're all facing challenges, we all face challenges, we all face things, and a lot of it's ourselves too, a lot of us face ourselves, at least at some point in our life, where we're our own worst enemy. So when it comes to interacting with people, are you compassionate? Are you kind? Do you smile? Do you give them the good word? A good word of encouragement, which can be, how are you today? That's different than, how are you doing? It's the inflection. How are you doing today? It really shows an interest in somebody. When somebody tells you, I was able to make this happen, you say, good for you. I'm happy for you. And be genuinely happy. You see, that's really the healthy part of self-interest, because when you're interested in the self, in the greater self, in the greater concept of things, you know, when you're happy for somebody else, because we're all connected now, when you're really happy for somebody else, you're really happy for you too, right? If we're all connected. What say you, Almighty Vicky One?
Well, and if you're happy within yourself, you can see happiness in others. You know, and you're willing to give more of yourself because you got more to give. It's that simple. You know, the more you are in the self, with a capital S, the more that you can participate with that internal greater self with others. And it's if you're not participating in a healthy and positive and, you know, some kind of productive, encouraging way with others, it really does indicate that something is lost in the self. The big self with a capital S is now small with a small S. You know, and I think when we see it most of the time, Doug, is gratification. You know, it's what's in it for me. People don't want to extend beyond themselves because, number one, they're afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of them esteem going on. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about that many times, and it's in the program. Them esteem is when you rely on, you know, positive input from other people to feel good about yourself. And that kind of them esteem also kind of relays into other behavior. And sometimes people aren't even conscious of it. They're not going to extend a kindness unless it's going to serve them. You know, mm-hmm. like there's something that has to, if it doesn't serve me, then I'm not going to be kind. You know, and why should I be kind if there's nothing in it for me? And that serves the small s self. Mm-hmm. You know, that it doesn't serve the higher self. It doesn't serve the evolution of the soul. It certainly doesn't, you know, cause you any kind of evolution as a human being. You know, and I think that's essentially, and I truly believe this with all my heart, we all want to be better human beings. We just don't know what that means.
Right.
So when we talk about self-interest, there's some confusion. You know, and there is confusion by how people operate primarily on fear, the fear of loss, the fear of not having love, the fear of not having money, the fear of, well, if I do this, I'm going to lose that, and if I do that, I'm going to lose this, instead of, which serves the higher self and you as a human being, geez, you know, if I did this, this would happen, and if I did this, this would happen. And again, you talked about tones, Doug. You know, mm-hmm. just that inflection. If you think the inflection, just even to think it, it relays in the energy outside yourself. And, you know, I think it's a sad day that we live in when somebody shows an act of kindness and we're elated. You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't serve anything except the small S self, you know, and that's where a lot of our vibration, our energy is lower. And the lower our vibration, the heavier it feels. And if you wonder why your life is heavy and low, you know, it's because there's nothing light in there with a big S.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's something simple like that to visualize, what serves the big S self? And, you know, sometimes it's really simple, just what's in it for me. I always say turn that around to what do I hope to achieve? And when you ask yourself that question and you answer it honestly, then you will absolutely see the difference between the lowercase self-interest and the higher case self-interest. It's really quite simple. What do I hope to achieve?
And that's a good point. Another take on that, instead of what's in it for me, why not what's in it for us? You know, it's got to be win-win. It's got to be win-win, folks. You know, we always want to get more and more. It's, you know, I got to get mine before it's all gone. I got to get mine before they get it all, or just, you know, I got to beat everybody to the punch. I got to one-up people. Oh, I got to get back at people because they did this or that. You know, it's like there's so much fighting, and it's internal. It's all this internal fighting, you know, this internal dialogue, you know, that they screwed me, they cheated me, they did this to me. You know, it's not right. I'm not saying that we should just let it go. I'm saying that we need to make better decisions. If we're in an environment where people are taking advantage of it, of us constantly, we need to, you know, take ownership of ourselves again, you know, reclaim our power and not let people encroach on boundaries. But by the same token, we got to make sure that we don't encroach on other people's boundaries. And again, it goes back to being more self-aware and aware of others. You know, there are little things in life that we can do that just makes a big difference. I've talked about, I think it was Roosevelt who talked about the and then some concept. If you, whatever you do, do it and then some. So just add that to everything. You know, if you're going to do a particular job, do that job and then some. If you're in customer service, do a good job for your customer and then some. If you're at work, do a good job at work and then some. If somebody's done you a kindness, thank them and then some. That means thank them again. In fact, when somebody does something significant for you, it's never enough to thank them once. Thank them at least twice or three times. Not all, not thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But, you know, show your appreciation. You know, give them a couple of thank yous here and there.
A guy came and turned on my furnace today. I gave him a big hug. You know, I mean, I wouldn't recommend that for everybody. But, yeah. You know, it seemed appropriate at the time. So, but I do know what you mean, Doug. It's not enough just to say, oh, thanks. You know, it's like, oh, I guess that wasn't appreciated, you know.
Right.
It's
show your appreciation.
You know, yeah, totally. I think even if we take this right down into relationships, and I see this in a lot of married couples who are struggling, and that they're looking for what's interested in somebody else and what's expected of them, and they perform what's expected of them, so they make somebody else happy, and they think that's in the interest of the relationship. But, you know, so you talked earlier about that, you know, win-win. When you're performing to satisfy a relationship, that's not in necessarily in your own best interest. Because then we start to live in a kind of like in a fairyland. It's not real. And, you know, that's where it's kind of outside of ourselves now. So I think that when we're giving to other people, we have to do it in a genuine way that serves ourselves because we've done the right thing. That's first of all. But that serves ourselves and serves the other, but without any loss of the self. So this is what I see a lot, where people lose their identity. They start to perform.
Amen.
And that is totally when we lose who we are. So if, you know, look, especially after 20 years of marriage, somebody is saying, you know, I'm really tired of doing his laundry. Well, then don't do the laundry, you know. Yes, but then he'll be mad at me, you know, and I've been doing it for so long. And, well, why don't you have a talk about that? You see, so it's how we all go through rites of passage. Everybody does. A relationship does. Parenting with children does. Every relationship goes through ebbs and tides and growing pains. And very often, if somebody has changed, let's say I have, had a big revelation of myself and I've changed, the rules are going to change. In other words, I am bringing something different to the table now. And it's fair that I tell everybody, not everybody, but I say, look, I'm a little different now, so I'm not feeling the same way as I did about these other things and how we've been doing things. So you give other people an opportunity to think about it and step up so that we grow together. People are very afraid to do this, Doug. I see this a lot. They don't want to say how they've changed their minds or changed as a human being, because then it changes the relationship, and they're afraid of losing the relationship. So we basically do what I call sold out. And we start living in that fairyland, and then we wonder why we're unhappy. So you have a revelation about yourself. You know the right thing to do, but you're afraid to do it. So you may not have you may as well not have realized that in the first place, because you cannot take back knowledge.
So what you're talking about here is secondary gains.
Absolutely.
And
just another way to look at secondary gains.
And, you know, you brought up relationships and within the context of this self-interest. And I see that all the time in relationships. I mean, I just, it's all over the place. And it's funny because I've even coached and counseled people on this before, and they seem like they really get the point. And then I hear later that, no, they don't. You know, life doesn't have to be hard, folks. I mean, it doesn't have to be as hard as sometimes we make it. I'll give you that. And these relationships, they don't have to be that hard. If you're in a crappy relationship, the solution is very simple. Get out of it. Now, you're thinking, oh, you don't know my circumstances. You don't know how deeply we're connected, or, you know, our lives are interwoven, whatever. I don't. Yes, I do. I've done it. You know, I'm not speaking, you know, out of inexperience here. I'm saying that relationships should not be that hard, not ideally. And what I see all the time is these partners, married couples, whatever, you know, telling each other what to do, giving all kinds of unsolicited advice. And here's the deal. If it's a matter of preference, yield. If it's a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. Don't give unsolicited advice. You know, don't tell your partner that they ought to be doing this or that or the other thing. And don't gripe at them because I don't like the way you sit there when you should be doing, you know, none of that crap. Here's the deal. We're all adults here. I'm an adult. You're an adult. We're all adults. So two adults in a relationship must respect each other. They must respect that the other person is an adult and has the inalienable human right to do whatever they want to do without judgment. Now, if you can't live with somebody because they do things, fine. Don't live with them. Do yourself and them a favor and get out of the relationship. Move on. Find somebody that you're a little more like, you know, that you have more in common with or whatever. But don't tell each other what they should be doing. I don't like it when you come home late. Well, so? I don't care. You know, I'm working, you're not. I'm trying to make a living here. You know, don't give me that. So it's like, don't give that unsolicited advice. That's probably the number one thing that creates issues between couples, is that they tell each other what to do. And, you know, I don't like this. You shouldn't do this.
I think what happens is that there isn't space enough for people to have an opportunity to bring something to the relationship, you know, and that there's a fear of somebody not bringing enough. So, you know, I don't really want to see what he's like, so I'll just make it better, or I'll show him how he can be a better human, and I can show him how he can please me better. Yeah. And it creates such a low S self-interest. But, you know, here's the thing. Most people I meet are afraid to be alone. Oh. And that is the biggest thing. So when you say, well, leave the relationship, terror sets in, that fear of, but I'd be alone. Now, the being alone for a moment, every human being should have, and this is the point of meditation, this is the point of yoga. This is the point of all the healing work. This is the point of metaphysics, mysticism, the healing arts, is to have a better relationship with yourself. But you have to have moments alone to know how to do that. It's just that people then don't want to be alone day after day, month after month, year after year, and do it alone.
I appreciate that. So, you know, but if you learn to like yourself, you'll never be alone. You'll never be lonely. Now, you might be alone, but you won't be lonely. Go ahead.
I'm going there with totally. No, I'm on the same page as you, Doug. The thing is, everyone needs to know a little bit of what it is to be alone with the self. That is aspiring to the self with the big capital S. And that your relationship with yourself is greater than your relationship with any other human being. Mm-hmm. I am more important to me in my relationship with myself, big capital S, small s, and write the S any way you like, my relationship with me is more important than any other human being. If I don't have that kind of healthy relationship with myself, then I am cheating other people out of more of me, and I am not living in true relationships. And that is what I check in with all the time with myself. I would rather live alone than be lonely in a relationship of any kind. And if people can stop to just think, I am lonely and I'm with someone, I am lonely and I have children, and I am lonely and I have friends, and I am lonely and I have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever it is, then something is wrong with your relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't put that first, we sell out. And then I only say, well, how much is my soul worth then? If you're going to stay in a relationship for money, okay. Just decide and make peace with it that your relationship is, the selling out yourself and your relationship mm-hmm. is worth your $30,000, $40,000 a year, and shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just say it to that way. You have no right to complain about that other human being. You have no right to complain about where they leave their shoes at the door because you're there for the money.
Right.
And as long Good as you point. Know that that's your relationship, and you have made that decision to stay there unhappily,
don't
you
complain.
Have no right to complain.
Absolutely.
No right to complain at all. So then, what I say, then take that a step further and respect that individual for what they do bring to you. Now you're going to start to live in the happiness instead of the negativity. I have agreed to stay here in this relationship for security. I'm here because I just can't give up. I can't do it on my own, and I can't be by myself. Okay, then respect who you're with because of what they do bring, even though you're emotionally not gratified, that they obviously aren't bringing you enough emotionally. They're not bringing you enough spiritually, but they bring the finances and that's it, then you be respectful of that. This is what we call choice. At least then you're having some kind of honest relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have to be, is honest with the self. If I am making this choice for a secondary gain, own it, take responsibility for it, and don't complain about it. It's a conscious decision. Now get about the other things of building yourself in a good way, finding the joy in your life as best you can then, you know, in whatever way that is, and aspire to the higher S self. You know, and maybe one day you will say, okay, you know what, now I'm ready and I can, you know, live without the money and I can, you know, leave the relationship. Just keep one thing in mind. This is where, and I truly believe this with my heart. If you have made a conscious decision to stay in a relationship for money, I hope you have been honest enough to tell the one you're with. So they have a right to make their own choice to stay with you for the money.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It has to go both ways. It goes both ways. Otherwise, it's a manipulation, it's deceptive, and it is not serving anybody, least of which is the higher self.
So
if I've made a decision, sorry, go ahead.
You finish your thought and then I'll kick in.
Well, I was just going to say, if I've made a decision to stay with somebody for the money, I better tell them. I'm staying with you because I'm afraid to be on my own. I can't afford to be on my own. And you provide what I need in my life. Are you good with that? Are you cool with that? Mm-hmm. And if they go, oh, sure, if you cook my meals and you give me my medication and you do my laundry, I'll pay for everything. We're fair, it's square. All right, then.
So what you're really saying here is another aspect of self with a big S interest, the healthy self-interest, and that is honesty. You know, being honest with yourself, getting rid of the cognitive dissonance, getting rid of the denial, coming face-to-face with why you're in a particular situation or circumstance. And that's really also part of self-responsibility, accepting responsibility for where you're at and understanding that it is because of you. I am where I am because of me. We're all where we are because of choices we've made. And if we don't want to make positive, healthy choices in our life, that's fine. You know, of course, that in itself is a choice. But if we don't want to make healthy, positive choices in our life, then choices will be made for us. And so part of that healthy self-interest is being honest with yourself and where you're at and how you got there and where you're going to go. You know, it's part of growing up on a soul level. It's part of accepting accountability. And it's not easy at times to do that. It's not easy. It just isn't at times. So, but we've got to do it. It's part of our journey. It's part of our path. You mentioned a little while ago about having our own identities and relationships, and that's so crucial. And it's so sad that in so many relationships, one or the other will allow the other to dominate them. In other words, one of the partner's personality will transform and acquiesce to the other. So you no longer have two distinct individuals. You've got, you know, some kind of a, you know, unhealthy union of some sort. You know, it's like one person will lose their identity to the other. That even gets into the Stockholm syndrome, you know. So yep. We have to maintain our own identities.
I think this is where interdependence is really mm-hmm. important to understand, which is also all involving self-interest. You know, I mean, and being interested in the self, but what serves the self because it's of interest to myself, there's interdependence that is not dependency.
Right.
So if I, you know, however, we do over time, if somebody has always taken out the garbage, there is something to be said for I'm dependent on them taking out the garbage, but you're not really. It's just that everybody assumes the job, you know.
Yeah, but the others are dependent on them for something. You know, it goes both ways. You know, it's give and take. I mean, in any relationship, both people can't do the same things necessarily. For example, or it's just not practical is what I'm trying to say. You know, if you take Tracy, my relationship, you know, in our particular relationship, she pays the bills. In a previous relationship for, you know, 20 years, I paid the bills. So it's not like I can't, not like I don't know how. But in this particular one, she does. But in this relationship, I mow the yard. She used to mow the yard in a previous relationship, but now I do that here. You know, we have things that we do that we just kind of fall into that rhythm, if you will. But then there are things that we both do. You know, we both do laundry, you know, sharing that. We both do other things, house cleaning, and there's a number of things. I take care of the water system here, you know, in our well. So I take care of that. That just, you know, she doesn't, I do. And I don't think, oh, you know, I'm really peeved at her because she doesn't do her fair share. It's her turn to take care of the well this week or her turn to mow the yard. You know, it's not like that. It's like if you have two interdependent people, and interdependence is, I always speak of that in a healthy way. You have mutually interdependent. That means you lean on each other equally. It's like the St. Louis Arch or any arch. You know, the way it's built is that gravity keeps it leaning to, you know, each side leaning to each other, right? They're connected in the middle, and it leans into each other. So there's that strength. But when you've got a lopsided arch, it's gonna tumble. If one person is doing more than the other, it's going to tumble. And that's the way it was in my previous relationship, where I literally did everything and the other didn't do anything, and it tumbled and it crumbled and then it's gone. And I won't even say God rest its soul. It's just gone. It was, you know, toxic. So,
well, I think that the point is that your ex did do something. It was just in her self-interest, not
yes.
in the interest of
good
of her higher self. Not in the interest of her higher self, and certainly not in the interest of the family. And, you know, it's how we serve the family. Now, this is where I will, I kind of get up on a soapbox about this, Doug, because when we take on the responsibility of children, there is no such thing as being greedy about, you know, all your self-indulgent time when you've made that commitment to children. The mm-hmm. children come first. However, you must be whole and healthy to be a whole, healthy parent. But to be a whole healthy individual does not mean that you neglect the children to go get healthy. You know, I see a lot of people, I need to go find myself. Like, who's lost here? You're just not responsible. You know, I understand people short circuit, they have breakdowns. You know, there's several what I call legitimate reasons for stepping out of a responsibility, but it ought to be short term.
And
so
it shouldn't involve children.
Absolutely. That is, you made a commitment to a human being that serves, look, you took it on, it is the higher self in the highest order. Nothing is higher than that. No matter what you face in life and how hard it is, it's the well-being of the family. Now, I'm not saying two married people should stay together if they're unhealthy, because that sets a poor example to the children.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, even in an unconscious way, they see how love is acting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love is not to act that way. But if I'm good, whole, healthy, know myself, and I'm doing things on a daily basis to continually grow, change, learn, and evolve, I am going to impart that to my children. And I don't need 6 hours a day to do that. 6 minutes is good enough, and sometimes that's all you get. You know, I've often seen people, I've done it myself, you know, where you're stressed. I raised 3 kids by myself for 18 years, Doug, and I do understand and appreciate. It was a choice to be alone with kids for 18 years. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to complicate my life. Did I miss out opportunities? Perhaps, but it is what it is, and I'm quite happy with that. But it's, you have a bad day, you get burned out, you get tired. Well, then you have, after the kids go to bed, you got your dishes done, your load of laundry done, then you can cry.
Yeah.
Then go to bed, and you get up in the morning, you start all over. Because I assure you, everyone, what seems like a really long day is a blink when they're 20 and 30 and 35 years old. I assure you. You look back and say, geez, I wished I was more emotionally available for that. But it's to take it on, suck it up. I think we indulge, Doug, I honestly do. I think a lot of people indulge, and this is where we get to self-interest with a lower S. That lowercase S, self-interest, is that gratification in the moment of, I'm tired, I should be able to sleep. I'm tired, I don't feel well. I should be able to just go and enjoy myself.
With,
you know,
regard to children.
Exactly.
Otherwise, it's not a problem. But
I don't care.
But within the context of children that you're responsible for, not a good thing.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that sometimes in what serves the interest of self lower S, I think that there is a lot of self gratifying going on myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because things are out of balance, right? And it's to know more about your higher self. So, how can we each know about the higher self? What is my higher self? What is that higher self of humanity and the universal mind? And I think it takes a little moment of pondering, and it takes a little moment of meditation, perhaps. It's just, who am I? And when you ask yourself that question, who am I? I'm a human being. Well, what kind of human being am I? How do I think? How do I feel? How do I process? What kind of human being do I want to be today? And how do I see my life in 5 years? So it's that understanding that there's something greater than just the workings of everyday life that serve the moment to pay the rent and get the groceries and do stuff. There's a bigger mind at work. So what I would recommend to people often is just to honestly stay quiet for a moment and have it maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes a day where you're just alone with yourself, to go into yourself and maybe even reflect a little bit about, how did my day go? Is there a way I could have handled that differently? Could I have said this or that? You know, and not to get paranoid, but just to go over it and say, okay, the next time I might encounter these situations, I might do it differently. And then go into a peaceful mode. You know, we've done our meditations in the past, Doug, and tried to share that with people. But bring a white light into your body and project that from your heart. You know, so it's just to feel at peace with yourself, and then ask yourself the questions of, how can I serve my higher self and my human self? How can I interconnect those two? So how can I now take all these great, wonderful philosophies and ideas and demonstrate that into what kind of human being I want to be? Because no good idea is a good idea unless you can act it out. So that's that interconnectedness. So how do we connect that higher self to the human self and then move forward?
Good points.
To understand, we're all doing the same thing, right?
Yep. Good points. I mean, there's a lot. It's interesting how you can kind of tease out a lot of information just on this concept of the paradox of self-interest. On the one hand, self-interest can be an unhealthy and negative thing. On the other hand, it should be a evolved positive thing. If you think about when we're talking about self-interest, somebody who really gets it and is complete within themselves and is evolved, is enlightened, when they think about self-interest, they understand, I'm connected to everything. I think about this, folks. How old are you? I mean, you might say, well, I'm such and such an age, you know, but think about the atoms in your body. How old are they? Think about it. How old are the atoms in your body? You know, are they've been around 13.7 billion years? You know, Big Bang, that kind of a thing, you know? I mean, you get what I'm saying here, is that when we understand that everything came from star stuff. Literally, none of this would be here if a star hadn't gone supernova and exploded. None of the heavier elements, none of the heavier metals would be here that are required in the human body. And so we wouldn't be here if a star hadn't exploded. So there had to have been a star. It had to explode. It had to then create another solar system. And, you know, everything just kind of evolved. And so we're right from the universe. We are star people. We are from the stars. We are connected. Everything came from that one thing. It's like if you take a mother who has several children, well, where did those children come from? They came from the same place, right? They came from the same mother, same as us. So when we ascend a little bit in our thinking, when we understand that there's more to life than just hating, more to life than just griping, more to life than just existing in a horrible relationship, more to life than working at a place you just despise and detest, when there's more to life than just adversity and trouble, when you just rise up a little bit and you're thinking, you understand that we are where we are because of our choices, and we don't have to live with that. I mean, we have to live with our choices, but we can always make new ones and therefore change our circumstances. Just like James Allen said in As a Man Thinketh, when you learn the spiritual lesson contained in any circumstance, it passes. And it's so true, because when we learn a lesson, we change. We can know a lesson and not learn it. But when we learn the lesson, we change. And then the circumstances pass in due time. And then we're into a bunch of new circumstances. And if we've made the right choices, if we've grown and risen and evolved a little bit, then we have better circumstances. And then we get it. We understand that in order to be healthily self-interested, I need to also be interested in what I'm connected to. It's like, a dog sled. You know, you got the lead dog and you got the dogs behind it. Well, if one of those dogs says, you know, this is just not working out for me anymore, I don't want to do the full load, I want to do half of it, well, everybody else has to pick up the slack. Well, if each one of those dogs understood, hey, I'm connected to everybody else. And so when I do something, I need to make sure that it's the right thing to do and it doesn't harm my teammates. And we all have teammates. We're each other's teammate. So, you know, think about that for a minute. When you, the next time, you know, you're angry at some moron who doesn't know how to drive, the next time you're angry at some jerk who does this or that, you know, consider the source. They're not evolved. They're unaware. They're not self-aware. They're not universally aware. It just is what it is. And it doesn't have to affect you. It doesn't have to get you in a bad mood. It doesn't have to frustrate you. Yeah, easier said than done, perhaps. But if we strive toward that, and we know who we are and why we are who we are, and we are complete within ourselves, we understand, and we see a little bit of a bigger picture. We understand that people are afraid, not because they think the world's going to end here in a couple of weeks, but they're afraid of, they're afraid that other people will see them for who they really are, and they don't have such a good self-concept, so they think that's going to be an automatic, I don't like you, and they can't have that. You know, one of the traits of human nature is that we seek recognition and appreciation and, you know, love, honestly.
You know, we're all casualties, Doug. You and I have had these discussions very recently. Mm-hmm. We're all casualties of people's hate and their fear and their anger and their bad behavior and their apathy. And I could go on with a load of adjectives, but I still have to check in with myself and how I am going to behave. I still must live with me. You know, we can't do tit for tat. And this is part of understanding how we are all connected. These people with bad behavior making bad choices, I know that there's a higher self and a higher power, if you will, without putting, you know, that higher power out there outside of ourselves. We're all part of this universe that needs to evolve. And if I collapse, I've got nothing. I need something. And my integrity and myself is all I have. Now, that doesn't mean we don't learn wisdom of how to better manage situations. But we're still always going to have crap happen. It will always happen, folks. So crap happens, it does too. If we think for 1 second that evolving to the higher self is going to mean that we're going to have this picture perfect, wonderful, peaceful, happy, you know, mm-hmm. kind of life, we're wrong.
Yeah.
It's just wrong. We are going to encounter all kinds of stuff. It's still about what we live within ourselves to know that if I collapse, and I do not continue to set a good example to myself and my children and to my friends and to other people, then they have nothing. And that's how we're interconnected. I must be a living, breathing example of everything I know to be in the universe. I know it. It's not just something I think or believe. I know it. I just don't think people behave very well most of the time, to be honest. And they need that better behavior, and that's why we're here. That's why we do this show. That's why we have these discussions. And that's why we have IMHS. That's why we have MCHS. That's why Doug does what he does, and that's what I do with what I do. And it doesn't mean to say we don't have a bad day and we don't encounter the very same people that everybody else does. But we need to know, we have to check in to still continue to set a good example by looking for options for solutions, new options, and keep thinking. We have really good minds. You know, it's always a new day, new opportunity.
Why do I do what I do again?
Because you're a good man, Doug, that's why.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. How could I do that?
You know, a little bit masochistic, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I'm not even going to go there.
No,
okay.
Don't go there.
So we have a question in the chat room.
All right.
Is it possible to learn a lesson, change because of this new knowledge, but then revert to your old way of thinking, behaving out of habit? or have you really not learned the lesson at all? Good question. And the answer is yes. Next question.
Yeah.
All right. You know, but see, that's the whole habit thing. Yeah, I mean, we spend all these years in these bad habits or poor habits, whatever, unhealthy habits. We learn it, we apply it, things begin to change, and can we revert? Sure we can. We call it backsliding. Sure we can, but that's part of the human experience. And did we learn the lesson? Well, we learned it, but maybe we forgot it. So we need to relearn it or be reminded of it. No shame here. No judgment.
I think there's two reasons, myself, that just pop into my mind, Doug. Is the first thing is what I said earlier about we can have an epiphany, we can have a revelation, we can have this wonderful bit of knowledge, but then we don't know how to apply that into our humanness. How do we take that into our daily life? So there's a disconnect between the knowledge, and when we've learned a lesson, we got the concept of it, you know, versus taking it into a practical application. And I think sometimes, though, the second part of what I might suggest here is that we go back to the old habit very often to find something redeeming in how we used to be.
Well, secondary gains, you mean?
Yeah. You know, it's like if you go back to an old relationship, let's say, okay, married couple divorces, both people change. It's not a good relationship, right? There's a lot of things still wrong. But they will try again and try again and try again. Not necessarily to make the relationship work, but to know that they weren't completely nuts for having been in it in the first place.
or the whole thing, I don't quit, I don't give up. And it's like, you know what, when you're really, if you're on a river in a boat with no motor, and you're tied to it, and you're headed for a waterfall, and you don't want to give up, that's not tenacity. That's stupidity.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. And I've been stupid in my life. Make no mistake.
Oh, we've all been stupid in our life. You know,
no. You know, we've all had those moments. But here's the thing that I always say is, wow, I thought I learned that lesson. I thought I had that. But there was an aspect or an element to it that I didn't look at. So I had to be really honest with myself to say, oh, well, here's another part of that picture I didn't have. You know, and have humor. I tell you, humor saves my butt because I can laugh at myself. I really can. I mean, it's so critical to have that bit of humor. And that's that lightheartedness, you know, that, and that's all having a relationship with the higher self, to know that my human self sometimes takes a while to figure it out. But I am connected to my higher self, and I am figuring it out little by little. So, yeah, you can fall back into the old behaviors. You know, it's just got to catch up with yourself sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, Doug, there is all these different aspects of our evolution. You know, it's not just spiritually. It's mentally, emotionally, and physically. And let's say you get it spiritually and you get it mentally, but your emotions haven't caught up to it. And the emotions and the physicality of our habits are really powerful. Mm-hmm. And they can pull us back into a habit. Yeah. And then there can be that disconnect. Mm-hmm. So we have to really make sure that we're evolving in all those levels. You know, it's like you can have a grown adult who seems really smart, and they seem to have like all the spiritual picture good, like they read a book and been to a workshop. And, you know, physically they're really fit, but emotionally they're 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that emotional catch-up. They have to do the emotional catch-up. Mm-hmm. But there are varying degrees of, you know, I've learned a lot in this past year, but now I have to emotionally bring it forward. I think we see this a lot with grief. You know, we've had a trauma, a loss of somebody, but there's so many details to work through. There's so many people to deal with, and you got to make the funeral arrangements and deal with the estate. And then you do a delay of emotional grief. That's a perfect example of trying to catch up with ourselves. And we do it in very many different ways and circumstances and outlets in our life that it's easy to fall back into an old habit because we haven't caught up with ourselves a little bit. So maybe there's you know, for the question in the chat, maybe that's a few different angles that, you know, helps to answer that it's easy to go back to habits, easy, until all these levels are brought together.
And that's part of the whole experience. You know, you try one thing, see if it works. You throw it against the wall, see if it sticks, right? If it sticks, great. If not, you move on. You know, you try the next thing.
It's too much of a business to say that, you know.
Yeah. But so we evolve that way. So here's the thing. We've been talking about the paradox of self-interest. Self-interest in a selfish, unhealthy way, or self-interest in a positive, healthy way. And hopefully you've gotten some ideas on how to use it in a healthy way, understanding that we need to rise up. And if you just see that visually, we're rising. We're rising to get a better perspective on us, on our fellow man, on the universe, on everything. And we hold to who we are. We know who we are, why we are who we are. We hold to that, and we continue to hone that, to sculpt that final person in a variety of ways, as you so nicely stated just a moment ago, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. So we work on those things, and now the question is, what can we do? How can we apply these things? Well, you know, go out and do a nice. You know, what can you do tomorrow, tonight, tomorrow? What can you do that's just a nice? You know, paying it forward in a way. Can you give somebody a good word, a word of encouragement? A lot of people are down these days, and I've always said that one of the greatest gifts you can give anybody is just a nice word of encouragement. You know, does that negate? Then, you know, even self-complete people can get down at times. They're human. It's not like you become self-complete and you now all of a sudden you're God or Superman. You know, it's like, you know, you still can get down a little bit. Well, why not a good word? You know, have you complimented somebody lately? Your family, your friends, whoever, your workmates, whatever it is. If you just make people, if you can help people feel good about themselves, you'll be surrounded. You'll have that magic charisma. You'll have that attraction. You know, everybody will think you're just the cat's meow, which of course you are. So, you know, a lot of interesting points here.
Nothing feeds the soul greater than an act of kindness, Doug, for everyone.
I agree.
Remember that. Nothing feeds the soul greater than an act of kindness. Do no harm, do right, and do something kind. That is food for the soul. It's been a great show, Doug. This is such a good topic. I think you might want to tell everybody right now before we spoke that connect.
Could you repeat that, Vicki?
On the 19th,
yeah.
We're going to have
the rite of signature for the Southern solstice there, our ceremony. That's in 2 weeks.
So,
next week we'll have another topic. We'll announce that on the website and on Facebook and so forth. Dr. John Hightower is going to be off-planet for the next 3 weeks or so. We hope he has time. Say hi to everybody over there. And, of course, after the 19th, we're going to also take 2 weeks off the show over the year-end holidays, solstice season. So, a couple of...
Well, that's because we'll be in recovery from blackouts.
I'm sorry?
We'll be in recovery from blackouts.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
The whole end of the world thing been canceled, so don't worry about it.
Yes.
All right.
Good night, Jeff.
Good night to you, Vicki, and good night to everybody. We really appreciate you joining us. And please tell others about the show. And if you like the show, drop us a line, admin@mchschurch.org. Have a great week, everyone. Good night.